Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem. This month, we have shared about our 45 years of ministry. Today, we'll give you a glimpse into our current staff and office here in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Our days begin with devotional time and sorting through our mail. We are grateful for your gifts, notes, and letters to us. The gifts are then entered into our system and processed. From there, our office manager reads every letter and determines if a response is needed. Orders for our products and materials are filled and packaged to be sent out. Our staff loves connecting with our viewers over the phone and often prays with our callers. Our bookkeeper ensures all information is recorded correctly and manages and maintains our records. Our production crew works together to create and produce our hosted programs. Thank you to our staff for your kind and generous hearts and all you do to carry on my dad, Pastor Salem's desire to spread the good news.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a special sermon today because this is the Independence Week in the United States, but it's something, a message for the whole world. And we're going to talk about the book that the world needs. America needs it, but the whole world needs it. And so call your friends and tell them to tune in, and we'll worship the Lord together. The psalmist writes in Psalm 116, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We'll call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows in the Lord now in the presence of his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord." And dear Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We thank you for all of the blessings you give us. We thank you most of all for giving us Jesus, wonderful Jesus. And we pray that people everywhere around the world will love him and trust him and receive him if they've not done so. So bless this service dedicated to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And Melissa's going to sing for us today a song, "Somebody's Praying." And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Somebody's praying. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. Angels are watching. I can feel it. Angels are watching over me. Many miles ahead.
Me. Well, I've walked the barren wilderness.
Lord, I thank you for those people praying all this time for me. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me, protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And you know, while she was singing that, I got to thinking, you know, I'm going to read some letters now, and you're going to hear about people, some of them having great joy, some having troubles and trials. And I, as she was singing about somebody's praying for me, maybe you could just have a little piece of a pencil, a little piece of paper, and if something speaks to you, you could start praying for that person. As I read their letters, and maybe the Holy Spirit will say, you need to pray for her. You need to pray for him. And all over the world, we could be praying for that person. So we're people of prayer, so maybe we could do special prayers for some of these people on the letters. Well, we do want to thank you for letters, and we're going to give the address at the close of the service. And we just thank you for writing. I hope more of you will write. And if you have a question or something that you'd like us to discuss, we'll try to do that. And we'll just use it all to the glory of God. So our first letter comes from Osceola, Iowa. And this person writes, it's a lady. I am in the nursing home after suffering a stroke. Glory be to God. My mind still works and I can still listen to your services even though I can no longer see. Can you use your prayers for the Lord to do with me what he finds is right? I love and have all faith in him. Thank you and your crew, your 95-year-old friend from Iowa. And I thought as I read this, isn't this beautiful? Now here she's had a stroke, and she's in a special nursing home, and she's lost her sight, but she thanks God she has her mind. And this is what she says, can use your prayers for the Lord to do with me what he finds right. In other words, she's saying, I don't know why these things happen, but I wanted to God to work in my life and his own plan and his own purpose. And if it causes, I have to suffer like this, I have to have a stroke, if I ever lose my mind, my sight, I just do it to the glory of God. And that's what Paul did, the Apostle Paul. He did the same thing. He had an infirmity, and God said he wasn't going to heal it. And so he said, I glory in that. I glory in it. I want to do God's will and serve him. It's just wonderful. When I see some of the faith of some of these people, it just puts me to shame. And she's not complaining, and it isn't a pity party, but she's just there waiting to see what God's going to do in her life. Let's see, here's Hyde Park, New York. I look forward to your programs every week. I pray for you and your staff daily. You all are special to me and especially to our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on keeping on until the rapture. God bless you all. And so from Hyde Park here, she's talking about thankful for all of you folks that are helping, and we have a staff at the office, and we have a crew out here today. We're running all of them on a technical part of it and doing it because they love the Lord and serving the Lord, and we're thankful for them too. And I noticed, interesting, she says, until the rapture. And so, yes, the rapture, that simply means the time when the Lord comes for his church. The Lord is going to make his second coming is going to be twofold. First of all, he's going to come for his church and take the church out, the believers, the people that have accepted him. And then comes the tribulation and all the horrible things that are in the book of Revelation. And then Jesus comes on the second part of his coming. And then he's going to rule and reign on this earth and then raise up all the unbelievers. And they're going to have to stand before the great white throne. Oh, it's a terrible thing. But if you accept Jesus, if you have Jesus in your heart, you'll never stand before the great white throne. There will be a judgment for believers, and it's not to see if we get to heaven, but it'll see how we work for him, and he'll reward us for our labors. Paul talks about the coming of the Lord Jesus, the rapture, and in 1 Thessalonians, and he says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Then we which are alive and remain in the Lord, those who remain and are in the Lord will be raised up first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so he's going to raise all of those Christians whose bodies are in the grave, going to raise them first, and then we might not die. We may be taken bodily to be with the Lord, and wouldn't that be something? That's called the rapture. And so here's this dear lady talking about the rapture. Here's Hamilton, Montana. Thank you for helping me and others to become reborn Christians. Praise the Lord Jesus. God bless you. And I thought when I read this letter, here's some people in Montana. It's a beautiful country, beautiful state. And they're born again. They've accepted the Lord. They're praising the Lord and thanking the Christian Worship Hour for bringing the word. They wouldn't have known, but the Christian Worship Hour brought the word of the Lord to them. And it says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me hath everlasting life. You have everlasting life. The minute you put your faith in Jesus, you have everlasting life. And then he goes on, John 5:24. He goes on and he says, and shall not pass into condemnation. That is, they won't go into hell, but they'll be taken from death unto life, eternal life with Jesus in heaven. And it's all because you open your heart to Jesus and ask him to come in and take away your sins. And you promise to serve him and follow him and forsake your sins the best you can and make him the Lord of your life. If he's good enough to save you, he's good enough to be your Lord. And that's what he calls us to do. And so we follow the Lord the best we can. Doesn't mean we're perfect. And some of us are far from perfect. But it means that we've been born again. And we have Jesus in our heart. And when we ask him to forgive us for falling and failing, he forgives us and our fellowship is restored. But our salvation is secure. We'll never lose it, never be lost. Here's Brentwood, California. Thank you for preparing a feast for the hungry in spirit, blessings in Christ. We're feeding the feast to the hungry in spirit. And you know how we're doing that? We're doing that with the Word of God. That's why we saturate our sermons and our messages with the Word of God. In a seminary, we had an old professor, Robert L. Moyer. God bless him. He's with the Lord now for a long time. I'm anxious to see him. And he says, get as much scripture in the sermons as you can. Get as much Bible as you can, because that's where the power is. And so here we are preparing a feast because we're preaching the Word of God. And it comforts us and it strengthens us, helps us. Praise the Lord for that. Springfield, Missouri. And this is for a person that's reminiscing a little bit. And she said, I grew up in a little town and went to church in a small church. When I watch your program, I remember those days in church as a little girl. Brings back wonderful memories. I'm drawn to your program and enjoy it so very much. I'm 65 years old, but feel like that child in that little country church when I watch your show. Thank you for sharing God's word each week with me. Love and prayers. And so that's just what we are. See, I'm from that age too. And I'm not just this generation, a different generation. I'm a different century. And I remember those little old churches used to hold services in them. And I started in a little church like that. And it was just our people gathered together just like a family. And just everyday people. And that's what we are today in this 2017, in this century, 21st century. We're just common everyday people. And Abraham Lincoln said one time, I think God loves the common people the most because he made the most of that kind. And that's exactly right. We couldn't get fancy if we wanted to. We know the Lord and love the Lord, and it's the same Lord Jesus that you had as a little girl. Same thing. Nothing changed. Here's Iowa Falls, Iowa. We enjoy your services every Sunday. We go to church first and record your services for watching later. My spiritual life has become much closer to Jesus because of your biblical messages. Thank you and your staff. And I'm glad they mentioned the staff because they help us. We couldn't carry it on without the staff in the office and couldn't have carried on unless we had those folks running our cameras and all the rest, and the sound and the lights, and I don't know what all they do. I know when I start preaching, I think they go to sleep, but up until then, they keep busy to keep things going. So at least I get the word to them that much. And I got to thinking, you know what we do? We put out a Christmas card every year, and it has a picture of our board of directors. It has a picture of our staff in the office and some other things. And so we always order extra cards, Christmas cards. And then when people write in, and if they want to, we send them this Christmas card, and then you get the picture of all of our people that are working to set to carry this ministry. And so if you'd like to do that, just say, please send me a Christmas card. And here it is, the 4th of July, and you can say you can get a Christmas card. Why not? Well, let's see. Livingston, Montana. I'm writing asking you to send me the sermon you had on Sunday, April 4th. It brought me to tears. I just lost my son and am searching for all the information of Jesus' love for us. I know he has a perfect love. Thank you so much. Now, here's one of those letters that you might want to jot down. Livingston, Montana. And she's lost her son. God took her son away, took him home. And you could pray for him. For all over the world, we could pray for this lady. And, of course, we sent literature and we prayed. We have a prayer team. We're praying for her. And God will see you through. God will help you. One more letter, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And this is from a lady. And she's lives in a group home, apartments. And she's trying to witness to them. And she wants them to come to know Jesus. And this is what she writes. She says, I want to do for God and Jesus in witnessing, and I'm sorry when and if I bother them. I love them. I hope I do what they want me to do. Thank you. And so she's praying that these folks won't get upset because she's witnessing about Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If they get upset, that's a good sign. Because if they get upset, it means that the Holy Spirit is convicting of their sin. He's convicting them and saying, you need Jesus. There is a hell. There's a literal hell. And there's a literal heaven. And the Holy Spirit, while we're preaching and we're singing about the things of the Lord, and then the Holy Spirit, and he convicts people. And sometimes they just break down and cry and say, yes, I want Jesus. Sometimes they get as mad as a wet hatter. They're just jumping all over the place, all excited. I've had that happen. And when that happens, I know, uh-oh, Holy Spirit's at work. And I've seen some of them, not all of them. Some of them stay mad, I guess, all the way to hell. I don't know what happened to them. God's the judge. But I see some come and say, yes, that's right. I want Jesus. And I want peace. And when you accept Jesus, he'll give you peace. wonderful, wonderful peace. So we're just praying that this lady will just, God stay with it. God will take care of it. Well, if you want to help us in this work, we need to have you to help us because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And so you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And if you want to get us on the internet, you know what you can do? You can send us a gift over the internet. And you just get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And we have a beautiful website. It's a new website. I wish you'd just look at it, even if you don't send any money. Just take a look at it. And you ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then it'll say donate. You punch that. And then it'll say give, I want a PayPal. And then you put in there just what you want to give. We'll get it in the United States currency, and we'll pay our bills. And then another thing we want to tell you about is we have a little paper we put out, a little Bible study. It's called The New Song. And for the month of July, our little Bible study is How to Be Beautiful. And what we do is we're not selling cosmetics or anything like that, so don't write in for that. But how to get beautiful, we're going to look at some of the beautiful people of God in the Bible. And why were they beautiful? And then we take those attributes and we take those lessons from them and we model after them. And of course, our greatest model is Jesus. And we all want to be like Jesus. And we're never going to match him perfectly in this world, but we will in that other world. And so you write to us and we'll be glad to help you. Now, I just want to mention this too, that if you wonder about your gift, we'll use it for the work of the gospel. We are a member of the International Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they audit our books and not only what we take in, but how we spend it. And every penny is accounted for and used for the glory of God. So you write to us, and those of you on the shortwave, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. Love to hear from you. So now we're going to give you an opportunity to give. And you just say, Dear Lord, should I support this work? Is this work is from you? And if he says yes, and he said, and you say, Well, Lord, how much do you want me to do? And then you send it to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. So now I'm going to pray, and you and Jan's going to play, and we're going to give to the glory of God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all who support this ministry through prayers and gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And while you're locating that, I want to thank everyone for sending a birthday cards. I got cards and letters and some gifts, and I was 96 last Monday. And I got so many good letters. I just want to thank you, everyone. I just appreciate it so much. And so everybody says, well, when are you going to retire? And I always tell them, well, I tell you, I think I'll retire maybe 3 days before my funeral if I have it my way. So we'll go as long as the Lord makes it possible. And your prayers and your gifts all make it possible. Well, we're reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And, you know, every week we pray for one of the persecuted church. And we're praying for the persecuted church in Ethiopia in our prayer this morning. So Paul writes, beginning with the 12th verse, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible, the Holy Bible, that it comes from you, and you spoke through holy men of God, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they delivered that word of God from you and put it in writing so that we have that beautiful Bible, and that it is inspired, and that it's that word we can rely upon. Because heaven and earth may pass away, you told us, but your word will never pass away. And after the stars have all been gone and the planets gone and this earth will be taken away in fervent heat like St. Peter says, after that's all over with, there stands that glorious, beautiful word of God, the Bible. So when we believe the Bible and have our faith resting upon that word of God, we are secure, secure forever. We pray multitudes will trust in you. We do pray for our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia, dear Lord. And we know they're going through hard times, but we know that you're with them. And we know that you're using them to encourage us. And Lord, here where we live in a country where we don't worry about persecution, but we can lean upon you and find strength in you, and you'll help us through any trouble or trial that we might face. We thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that we can have this service today. And as free people in America, we pray you'll forgive America for her sins and turn her to God, turn her back to God and back to the Bible. And we'll just give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb's going to sing for us now, "You're Still God." So God bless you, Barb.
It would happen to anyone but me. I never dreamed that I would carry this heavy burden on my knees. I never thought that I'd be standing just where I stand today. I never known this kind of heartbreak. I've never felt this kind of pain, but you're still God. When my eyes have cried a million tears, you're still God. When my last hope has disappeared, you're still God, and I know you'll make a way right now. Thank you. heart can't find the answer or the reason for this trial. But Lord, I know your ways are perfect, and you've been watching all the while. For time you've proven faithful, time and time again. And I'm learning, Lord, to trust you. Even then I don't understand, but you're still God.
Thank you, Barb, and what a wonderful message that is. He's still God, and he'll always be there. Heaven and earth will pass away. His words won't pass away. God won't pass away. He's from everlasting to everlasting, and we just love him and trust him, and when everything is all done and said and all everything's over, there'll be that wonderful, great, and wonderful God, the Ancient of Days. Well, we want to talk about a little something special today, because this week the United States celebrates their independence. And so I want to bring a special message. But I don't want to limit it just to the United States, but I want to limit it to all the world, all the nations in the world. And I'm entitled this sermon, The Book That the World Needs. God knows that America needs the Word of God and by the Bible, but the whole world, every nation, and we're praying that the nations of the world will turn to God and trust in Him and read that Word and believe that Word, the Bible, the Holy Word of God. Listen to some of the world leaders that speaks about this Bible and endorses this Bible. Oh, George Washington said it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. That's our first president. And then John Quincy Adams said, "So great is my veneration of the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will I be, my hope, that it will prove useful citizens for their country and respectable members of society." And Charles Dickinson says the New Testament is the very best book that ever was or ever will be known in the world. Andrew Jackson, one of the leaders in our nation, said, "That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests. And America needs to turn back to God, or they're going to have a lot worse troubles than they have now. And the other nations of the world need to have that Bible and that guidance, too. Because Satan doesn't respect any special nation. He afflicts all of these the leaders of these nations and the people of the nations, and they need to turn to God and the Bible and read it and obey it." Abraham Lincoln said, "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through his book." Horace Greeley also spoke, and he said, "It is impossible to mentally or socially enslave a Bible-reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom." Another great leader says, Woodrow Wilson, "I ask every man and woman in this audience that from this day on they will realize that part of the destiny of America lies in their daily perusal of this great book." Douglas MacArthur spoke about the Bible. He says, "Believe me, sir, never a night goes by, but I ever so tired, but I read the Word of God before I go to bed. Herbert Hoover spoke about the Bible. The whole of the inspiration of our civilization springs from the teachings of Christ and the lessons of the prophets. To read the Bible for these fundamentals is a necessity for an American life. And one other man I put in was President Dwight D. Eisenhower. To read the Bible is to take a trip to a fair land where the spirit is strengthened and faith is renewed. Every one of these men were world leaders, and so to a man, they endorse the Bible. They urge us to follow it. They urge us to read it, to revere it, to obey it. Yes, the Bible, the world needs the Bible, and so it'll do a lot of good for us. So I put down three things that the Bible does to help us if we live in that book, read that book, and it talks about how that when we apply it, that is, we read the Word, and then we say, now what is God saying, and what is He telling me? And we apply it to our hearts, and we put it in motion. James talks about, he says, what good does it do to read it if you don't follow it? He says, it's like a man who looks at himself in the mirror, and it doesn't look very good, but he doesn't do anything to correct it. Looks in the mirror, he looks ugly, and he goes away ugly. And so the smart one will look in that and see, well, I need to shave, and I need to get a little fix up here, and maybe. And the women always, they put on a lot of stuff to fix up themselves, see? And that's what we have to do. It can't be cosmetical. It has to be from the heart. And we see that our spiritual life, and we see it in that mirror, how short we fall of Jesus Christ, and we pattern after Him. But the Bible teaches at least three things. It's a wonderful book for three reasons. The Bible satisfies our longing for God, for one thing. When man was created by God in the Garden of Eden, as was Eve, we were created with a desire to worship God, and we will never be complete until we have God in our life. And you may have a lot of ability, and you may have do a lot of great things, but you're not complete until you have Jesus Christ in your heart, God in your heart. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And unless you have a dimension of your life, a spiritual dimension, unless it's filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you're never going to be fully developed. You're not going to be the full person. And so they have this desire to worship God, but worship something. And so they worship their money, or they worship some idol, or they'll worship a fence post. They have to worship something. And this Bible satisfies our longing for God. All that we know about God really comes from the Bible. We can see how the greatness of God in the mountains and the stars and the sky, and we can see the power of God and the wisdom of God. For instance, DNA, you can't see it with a visible eye. I have to have a microscope. So tiny that is, and a baby is conceived, has DNA. And how can that be? There's a great and a wonderful God. We can see those things, but we don't really know God until we get to the Bible. And then He introduces Himself. And so we want to have, because we need to be with God. That's what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. And it talks about how that they came and walked with God. Our first parents had a close relationship with God. And then came the fall. Sin entered in. They were driven from the garden, and the fellowship with God was broken. But God in His mercy and His grace provides a sacrifice so that Adam and Eve can have that fellowship restored. And we read it in Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also and unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And so here they have sinned, and they're going to have to leave that garden. That fellowship is broken, and they're going to have to go out into the world. But He has that animal. And in order to have that animal, to give that coats of skin, blood has to be shed. So here in the book of Genesis, when they're clothed with those garments, there's the shedding of blood. And all through the Bible, you have that shedding of blood. You have it at the Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. You have it on the cross when Jesus says, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And that all took place, started out in the Garden of Eden. And so God tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That is, you die spiritually. That fellowship died. But in Christ, that fellowship is restored. And this animal slain in the Garden of Eden, as they leave, that's a picture of the coming of Jesus. He's going to come and he's going to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that's why we preach Jesus all the time. You have to have Jesus. You have to do more than just know about him. You have to have him in your heart. You have to personal relationship with him. You have to intimately know him. We know about George Washington, and that's nice, but we have to do more than just know about him. And so we can know about Jesus. We can't have George Washington in our life, but we can have Jesus, the wonderful Savior. And so he tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And so here we have it. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The fellowship is broken. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, is crucified to pay for our sins. He's raised from the dead. And now we, like Adam and Eve, by faith, can accept that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and our sins can be taken away through the blood of the Lamb, and we have eternal life as we put our faith in the Lord Jesus. But you have to make that decision to accept Christ. The only one, well, some people say, well, what about the little babies? What about the children? They can't accept Jesus. They don't know how to pray. Well, Jesus answered that in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14. And you know the story of how they brought the little children that Jesus would bless them, not baptize them, because Jesus never baptized anybody. John tells us that. So he blessed them. And the disciple says, he is too busy for the kids. Get a babysitter or something. Get them out of here. And when Jesus saw that, he was very displeased. And he said, allow the little children to come unto me. And then what did he say? For of such is the kingdom of God. All the little children belong to God. All of those little millions of murdered little babies in abortion, they're all with God. That's the only good thing about it. They're with in the presence of the Lord. But when you come to that age of accountability, you decide that you'll have Jesus. But until that time, if somebody's mentally unable to make a decision, they belong to the Lord. That's what Jesus said. And so we have this wonderful reason. We have this wonderful thing from the Bible. The Bible teaches us that we can have eternal life. We can have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible gives us comfort in time of trials. You won't live long in this world until you run head on with troubles and trials. In too many cases, little children go through them too. For instance, the little children in the midst of a persecuted church, and they see their parents taken away, or maybe their parents are killed, and the little poor little children are left. But God has his eye upon them. God's going to watch over them, but all the troubles and the trials they have. And I think of some of the young people in high school, especially, and all of the pressures they have to do things. They have temptations now we never even dreamed about, never even thought about, and they're bombarded with it all the time, and how they need our prayers and our love, and they need Jesus. Jesus have their troubles and trials, and old age has some trials and troubles too. I'm 96. I never been that old before. It's just amazing. I never thought I'd ever live that long. But God says, I've got some of my days marked for you. When your time comes, I'll take you home, Buster. So don't get worried. Just take it easy. Just keep plugging along. That's what I do. And so this are the troubles and trials. The church has suffered since the day it was born. You remember that first Easter Sunday in the evening. In the evening, they go bend to the tomb, and the tomb is empty, and Christ is risen. And Jesus is risen. And so they go and they have a meeting. They think it's probably in the upper room. Some of the disciples and the apostles. And they bolt the doors. And they bolt the doors because all Jerusalem is against Jesus Christ. They've just crucified him. And what are they going to do with his people? And when they stand up and say, I'm a Christian, they could lose it. They bolt the doors. But Jesus comes and he talks to them and he encourages them. And in the Bible, Jesus says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. He says, Jesus says, if ye're of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. John 15, verses 18 and 19. So Jesus warned us to follow him. There'll be troubles. And he gives us this word that just be of good cheer because I have the last word. I've overcome the world. That is, the world took look how the world treated Jesus. They disgraced him every way they could, and they flogged him, and they spit in his face, and they tore out his beard, and they put on the crown of thorns that pierced into his brow, and they crucified him. That's what the world does with him, the hands of men, but the hands of God. I'm going to tell you something. The Lamb, when they drove that spear into the side of Jesus Christ, enemy hands, wicked hands, never touch that body again. Because now he let them do it so he could die for our sins. He's raised from the grave. And so you have to have that faith. You have to receive Jesus. And he'll give you strength to go through the troubles. And if you're an unbeliever today and you don't have Jesus in your life, I want to tell you something. God loves you. And when Jesus died on the cross, he could see your face. He died for you. But it is all in vain unless you make that acceptance. The price isn't any good until you accept it. The pardon is there, but you've got to accept that pardon. And if you reject that pardon, you're going to suffer and die with the sinners. And that's a terrible place they're coming. And so you could do it right now. You could just pray. And you just say, Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Say it right now. Sometimes people pray it with me. I'm a sinner, and I ask you, forgive me for my sins and take away my sins. And I'll follow you, and I'll serve you the best way I can. And I'll honor you in all the things in every way I can because I love you, Lord. And that's what God will do, and he'll give you peace at heart. You may have joy and you may be happy and you may cry, and yet you may not have, don't have any reaction at all. When I accepted the Lord, I didn't have any reaction at all, except the next day, I just felt like my sins were gone. A load was gone, see. You can do that. Come to Jesus and do that. And he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son to die on that cross for your sins. And that's why we have to come to Jesus. And then the last thing I put down, the Bible takes away the fear of death. Many people are afraid of dying. I run into them all the time. They refuse to talk about death. I know one man who won't write his will because he doesn't want to talk about death. He's not going to face death, not even to talk about. And when it comes to the Bible, it says one subject, why they don't go to church many times. If the Bible's being preached, they don't want to hear about hell. They don't want to hear about judgment. They don't want to hear about death, but it's all coming. And in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now it says, after death, the judgment. And so if you fear death, you ought to fear death because it's going to be a terrible thing to face God and to fall into the hands of an angry God. So you could come and you could pray that prayer that I just gave you. Use your own words and just from your heart, and Jesus will come in. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him, fellowship with him. And maybe he's knocking at your door or your heart right now. There's something that's saying to you, I really ought to take Jesus. I really want the Savior. I really want Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Jesus is knocking on your door, but he'll never come into your heart. He's not a transgressor, trespasser. He and you just have to open the door yourself. Hallman Hunt has painted a picture of that door. And after he was done, he had a friend come and look at it. And he looked at the door and he said, "Hunt, you've made a horrible mistake. You don't have a doorknob on that door." And Hunt says, "Of course I don't. Has to be open from the inside. That's what you have to do." And so when you do this, you take the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll have the joy and the happiness that Jesus Christ can give. And so Paul says, "I'm not afraid to die." He says, "For me to live is Christ." He says, "To die is gain," Philippians 1:21. Gain, because in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, it says that we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Sometimes I hear Christians say, I want to go to heaven, but I worry about the process of how I'm going to get there. Well, Jesus is going to walk with you, and he's going to take your hand. And like David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And why, David, why not fear evil? Why don't you fear death? And he says, "Because thou art with me." And so the dear Lord Jesus comes and he takes our hand and he walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And remember this, it's just a shadow, a shadow. You see, once it was a horrible experience, but Jesus went, and when he paid for that price and when he died, when he was raised from the death, the sting of death is gone, and death can't hurt us at all. Death can only usher us into the presence of God, which is far better, much better. And so this wonderful Jesus goes to the cross, and he pays for the price, and death now is just a shadow. Shadow of a dog can't bite you. Shadow of a knife can't hurt you. Well, you say, "How long is it? How long a trip is it?" You know how long it is? One breath. One breath. Because we separate our last breath here and our next breath is in heaven. That short, that quick, so we don't worry about the shadow of death. I recently read about a young man. He completed seminary and he was serving his first church. He loved his people and they loved him. And one day he heard of one of his members who was in the hospital. And so he hurried over and go to see her and talk to her. And before he went into her room, he asked a nurse, "Is she resting comfortably?" And the nurse responded, "No, we believe she only has a few hours to live." Well, the young pastor had never called on a dying person, and he didn't know what to say, and he didn't know what to do, and he was visibly shaken. And when he entered the room, the saintly dear old lady looked at him and noticed that the young man was trembling and fearful and afraid. And in her kind, sweet way, she said, "Son, there is nothing to be scared about. I'm going to cross over Jordan, and my father owns both sides of the river. Either this side is just fine with me, and living or to die is his. I'm his. Doesn't matter." So she was not afraid to die, nor am I. But I wonder how you feel. Are you afraid of death? Does it make you nervous? Do you tremble? You come to Jesus. And that's the reason we have the Christian worship hour. And if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be afraid to die. You will look forward to being with Christ, as St. Paul said, which is much better. So if you just pray and say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake my sins the best I can. And I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus." And tell somebody. And then write to us. And we'll send you some literature to help you get started on the Christian life. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to get us, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you write to us, we'll send you literature to help you get started on the way. Or if you want the little Bible study, the new song, you can write to us. We've got it on the screen. And those on shortwave, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'd love to hear from you. And then if you want to send that gift, you can do that, because we have to have your help to carry on. And then in the meantime, we're going to be praying for you. And you pray for us. And you know, we'll all be happy because whether we live or whether we die, I am the Lord's. It's like the little old man, he was out on the ship and the ship was going to go down. He says, well, I was going to see my son, but I have one son that died. So as I don't know, I'm going to see which son, but either one is just fine with me. Ship goes down, I'll see this boy that went ahead. Ship stays up, I'll see the one over there in Boston. So that's the way we live. So you write to us. Now we're going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll bless everyone who's worshiped with us. We pray that many will open their heart to you. We pray for the young people, Lord, who face so many temptations. Encourage them and help them to turn to you. And to those who are on beds of sickness and those who are shut-ins and those who can't get around, help them to know that you're with them and will never leave them or forsake them. And dear Jesus, in all of these things, may you be pleased and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. So we want to thank you all. Hope you'll write to us. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll be thinking about you and praying for you. And just remember this, God loves you. Even if you're way out in sin, wicked as can be, his blood will cleanse us from all sin. Though your sins be as scarlet, be as white as snow. Just come to Jesus. And it's so easy. A 10-year-old boy, like I was a 10-year-old boy, I accepted Jesus. Come to Jesus. And then just remember, God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. And we think about you. And during the week, as we get the letters, we pray for those who send in requests for prayer. And we try to answer those who have questions, those who have needs. We minister in every way we can. And we do it all for the glory of God. That's our prayer, that God will be pleased and honored with our efforts. It's all in his name and Jesus' name. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.